Let's go to the word letter green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So we're looking at spiritual gifts. I'm trying to see what we can say around spiritual gifts. You know, much more than the theology of what we are examining during this series is actually the practice of it. And like I would always say that, you know, whatever you give your attention to, you get better at it. One of the things we've done over the last few weeks is that we've tried to, you know, give some expressions to the things of the Spirit in our midst on Sundays when we meet, right? And last Sunday, we also had a good time going out to witness to people and to share God's loving kindness, share about God's loving kindness, love and kindness to, you know, and people around. I trust that that was a beautiful time. And we're going to just continue in spiritual gifts. There's a few things I wanted to touch in this series for this particular, you know, meeting. You know, like I would say, if you're observant, you'll find out that as a church, in the coming days, just like the previous days as well, we've had consistency, or we've had the sense of consistency in repeating certain topics. So there are certain topics that we repeat consistently as much as possible. We'll try to, you know, do them yearly. And, you know, what might change might be the mode, or not mode really, the topics that are addressed, or the title. Yeah. But the truth is, we are actually, you know, under one umbrella, usually, and we always emphasize those teachings. For instance, believers love work, you know, something. Yes, we might not have had a series for that in this year, but we talked a lot around that, you know, earlier in the year during the local church series, for instance, fervency, commitment, consistency. We did a lot of work around devotion as well, did a lot of work around, you know, the believer's authority as well, you know. So we just how to interpret the Bible, how to read the Bible. We did it as well, and concerning spirituals is, you know, we're doing it as well right now, which we tie to spiritual gifts, right? And we've tried to use the month of October, right, to say as much as we can, but we'll try and see what more we can say as well again in this series. So if we go all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, so it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts." So we said that now concerning spiritual just really means now regarding the things of the Spirit, right? And we said the word their brethren is the word that means people who have a commonality together, people who are similar with the nature. So people who have something in common, right? Something that is in common, something that is, you know, unique, something that is unique to, you know, but all saints. So it's like a basic thing that will be found with and every saint. Okay, so it says, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, Adelphos will be a relationship that is shared with people who have a commonality." I think that's another way I can say it. Brethren will be a word used to describe people who have something in common. Okay, so brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So it means there's a possibility that a believer can be ignorant regarding the things of the Spirit. So it goes further in verse 4 to try to, you know, try to sort of break it down into a bit for comprehension. And it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Right? Look at that one more time. I'm in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it says, "Now There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Okay, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer. Okay, so a good way to look at that word every man in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 is to look at the man that is in Christ. Okay. Not just anyone on earth, okay? Yeah, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without, right? And it says, for to one is given by the Spirit. I'm just trying to say that the context in which Paul is addressing will be brethren from verse 12, from verse 1, okay? So, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, okay? So, go to John 1. We saw that on Sunday. This is where we closed. So, look at John 1. John 1 verse 45. John 1 45. John chapter 1. Yeah, look at John 1 45. He says, Philip finds Nathanael and he says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now look at what Nathanael says unto him. That is, Nathanael is responding to what Philip just said. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Right? Philip said unto him, come and see. So when Nathanael was responding to Philip, what his attention was placed on was on the locality or community, town or village called Nazareth. Okay, so he's saying that, can any good thing come out from Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. So Philip says, well, I think we found him of whom Moses. So why do you think they will call Moses the law and the prophets? It is because their scriptures will be comprised of the writings of Moses, the writings of the law, and the prophets. Okay, so he says, we did write about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Right, and Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come from Nazareth? So he's like someone just trying to say, can any good thing really come from, you know, and people who come from Kenya, for instance, people who come from Australia, right? And the Bible says, verse 47, the Bible now records that Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and said unto him. So look at it. Nathanael had a private conversation with Philip. Yeah, there is every tendency that Jesus knew about the conversation. You know, you will see portions of scriptures where people will murmur within themselves, then Jesus will come and reach out to them, and he will say to them what they were saying in their private. I'm trying to say that these things can happen by the Spirit of God in man. Okay, yeah, we'll look at that shortly. Yeah, when you see the, you know, and people will be murmuring among themselves, and Jesus will now come and say, this is what is going on in your heart, or you say in the conversations you're having in private. Yeah, such that when you see those things happen, the only way you can know it can happen is by the Spirit. Okay, so he says that Nathanael said unto him, Jesus said unto him, rather, verse 47, John 1 47. What did Jesus say? Behold an Israelite, indeed. Behold an Israelite indeed, rather, in whom is no guile, right? Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. We looked at this on Sunday. We said that's a ministration from Jesus to Nathanael, and we can call that a word of knowledge. Okay, how do you know it's a word of knowledge? Look at what Nathanael says in verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip calls thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art his son. Now, hold your hands in John 1. Don't forget you're in 1 Corinthians. And go all the way to 1 Corinthians again, verse 14. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 14. go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, right? Yeah. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Look at what Paul says. If, therefore, the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, right? Yeah, so he's talking about tongues in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14. He says, and there come in those that are unlearned. Now, the word they are unlearned, we said, is that what God you call idiotes, right? Someone who is not knowledgeable on the matter, okay, right? Or he calls them an unbeliever we do not say that thou art mad. So if a saint minister or meets another, so I'm trying to say that Paul is talking about if therefore the whole church come together, but you don't limit that conversation to the coming together of the church. You can also see it as if a saint meets another person who is unlearned or an unbeliever, and all you communicate with that person is tongues, that person will say, "Are thou not mad?" or "Are you mad?" You know what I'm trying to say, right? So why should I look at verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14? It says, when the church comes together, you can say, oh, well, if they come together, then an unlearned person comes to the midst and they say, oh, are these people not mad? But more than that is actually the fact that as a believer, you can be on the streets, right? So I'm trying to say to you that don't go to the streets and you see an unbeliever, someone who supposedly might be unlearned in the things of the spirit, and you start with tongues and end with tongues. Yeah? Can you minister in tongues with an unbeliever? Yes. Are we together? You see, separately, a lot of times when I get people filled randomly on the streets, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, when I speak to them, I set an atmosphere of speaking in tongues for them to join in, or like I would say, to jump in, right? Yeah, but I don't leave them with tongues alone, because what tongues will do to an unlearned mind, an unbeliever, is for the person to believe that the person who is speaking in tongues is mad. Yeah, it can seem to an unbeliever or an unlearned person that this person is an idiot or is a mad person. Do you understand? Yes, do you understand? The mad person, an unlearned person can call another unlearned. You get the point I'm trying to say, right? So it's possible that, yeah, you can minister with tongues with an unbeliever or around an unbeliever or around unbelievers, but you ensure you don't leave it at tongues, right? The same thing, you come to the local church, we don't leave it at tongues, right? So that's why he now says in verse 24, he says, but if all prophesy. Now, one of the things we said last week or over the weeks is that prophesying can be seen as taught by Paul as tongues with interpretation altogether, which is what we saw that emphatically on Sunday, right? Yeah, you see, why do we teach in blocks? Why do we teach with series? It's because a lot of times we are building pictures. Are we together? We are building pictures. Yeah, we are building pictures, right? So that's why it's always important to follow through track one, track two, track three, track four, track five, track six. I want to believe this track eight or nine under spiritual gifts, right? So it's very important for you to just follow through. So on Sunday and the previous week, we already said that, yeah, on the day of Pentecost, what was evidently seen was tongues. But when Peter will explain what was happening, he will call it Joel prophesied that they will prophesy, or that sons, daughters, young men, old men shall see vision, dreams, and you know, handsmaid and all the likes, you know, shall experience supernatural encounters, so to say, right? But Paul, Peter will make you see that, well, whilst Luke lets them see, or let us see, that tongues was something that was spoken up in Acts 2 verse 4. But much more than tongues is interpretation, and that is why people could relate. Yeah, so that's why you see it, let's not get there. So it says, but if all prophesy and there comes in one that does not believe or is unlearned, why can somebody come into a meeting and he can relate with that meeting? It is because the people who are in that meeting will not end with tongues. Look at that one more time. If all prophesy, right, and there comes in one that believe not, that means an unbeliever or is an unlearned person regarding the subject matter of the things of the spirit, right, he is convinced of all. Why is he convinced? It is because there is no tongues. Let me say that differently. Sorry. It is because the tongues did not end with tongues. You know what I'm trying to say, right? Remember, what was he saying in verse 23? Look, if you look at 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. So he's teaching tongues. I went together. Look what he saying in verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together and all speak with tongues. So he's teaching tongues. So can you see he's teaching tongues in regards to the unlearned and the unbelievers, as well as tongues, as well as prophecy in regarding the unbelievers and the unlearned. Which one is profitable when we come together or when we have another party involved? Yeah, if you go back to verse 2, verse 3, you see tongues will be for the edification of the one speaking, while interpretation or prophecy will be for both the mind of the one speaking as well as the one that is listening. Okay, so why will an unlearned person come into a meeting of saints where tongues was used? The only and the meeting will make sense to the person It is only on account of the fact that when tongues was used, it did not end with tongues, right? So he says he's convinced of all, he's judged of all. Now look at what Paul lets you see in verse 25. He says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And thus are the secret. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, you are Nathaniel, right? You are Nathaniel, and you are a man that has no guile. Or you are an Israelite, sorry. Yeah, you are an Israelite, a man that has got no guile. What's that? That's revelation by the Spirit. Are we together? Yeah, that is revelation by the Spirit. Yeah, those are facts. So what you see, and does the secret of his heart. Don't focus on secret as the word secret of things I've done in private. I don't want to know. No, that's not what it is limited to. A way you can see that is, and thus facts about him or her is ministered or it is said. Are we together? Right? So what does Nathaniel do? Nathaniel will fall down on his face. So who was Nathaniel in the real sense? He will be one who is unlearned regarding the fact that a man can see by the Spirit, know facts by the Spirit, and say by the Spirit facts he has known by the Spirit. I'll say one more time. Nathaniel will be an example of a man who can fall. Look at it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:25. And those are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God. God is in you of a truth. So what is the report from the man that was once unlearned or an unbeliever? He said, okay, let me show you one example. Close your hands, close your 1 Corinthians 14 and go to John 1. Go to John 1. What did Paul say when an unlearned person's secret, or let me say it in quotes, what did Paul say will happen when the secret, what is secret? Facts. Right, about an unlearned person, an unbeliever happens. The Bible says, Paul says that he will fall down to his face, are we together, and say or acknowledge of a truth that God is in you. Okay, so who's Nathaniel? Nathaniel is one who was doubting. You know, saying, Peter will say, well, look at Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Nathaniel will say, can anything good come out from Nazareth? It means that Nathaniel was in doubt. You get what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. So he will be in doubt, that is, he will be unlearned about some matters. So Jesus will say, behold an Israelite indeed whom there's no guile. That means Jesus by the Spirit will know his what? Look out, government, in your world today. Jesus by the Spirit will know his village in your world today. Yeah, Jesus by the Spirit will know his city in your world today. So it means you can meet a man and actually say to the man, listen carefully, you can meet a man and actually say to the man that, oh, you are from, I see something around Spain, right? I see something around Athens. What do you have to do with Athens? You see, what do you have to do with Athens? Is the same thing as saying, well, behold, you are a man from Athens. And I can see something about your character. What did Paul say? What did Jesus say? In whom is no guile? Are we together? Right? Yeah. So Nathanael said unto him, whence knows thou me? So you can meet people, give them facts. And the question that comes to their mind is, where do you know me from? So he's trying to say that the information can be that accurate that a logical mind will think that the only way this person knows this fact is because they know me. Altogether, that's why the first question is asking is, where do you know me from? So in our world, it is, do we follow ourselves on Twitter? Do we follow ourselves on Instagram? Do you know mutual friends? I'm trying to give you the various scopes that can be found from John 1. Yeah. So Nathanael said unto him, where knowest thou me? And Jesus said unto him, oh, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael, that I saw thee does not mean it is from that seeing you I knew, or that I saw you gave me where you were from. Don't mix the points. Are we together? So what did Nathanael say? What did Paul say should happen when an unlearned has a secret? What are secrets? Facts revealed. What did Paul say should happen? Falling down on his knees and acknowledge of a truth, there is God in you. What did Nathanael do? Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi of the truth, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. I'm saying this is somebody who doubted the possibility of something good coming out from Nazareth. Do you know what I'm saying? Right? So it means that someone can be in utmost disbelief, unbelief, right? And by the ministering of the things of the Spirit, right, their knowledge and ideology about staying in unbelief will change. Are we together? Now, so we said, what did Paul say should happen? Falling down on his knees. Why? Because facts were said. Are we together? Facts were said. So if you look carefully, you realize that discerning of spirit or discernment as a whole, yeah, discernment as a whole will be on the bedrock of the flow of things of the Spirit. What am I saying? Yeah, if you look at Peter, look at Acts 5, sorry. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, so a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and they kept back part of the price, right? So if you know for any reason, as a believer, that somebody sold something and kept a part of the money away, right? What can you say is happening? Well, that's word of knowledge, right? With on the bedrock of discernment, right? And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to this, and they brought certain part later at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled our heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Are we together, right? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Let me tell you, that is a word of knowledge. Are we together? That is a word of knowledge on, like I said, on the bedrock of what? Discernment. Are we together? How on earth would Peter know? Do you understand? Just like the way Jesus will say, well, thou art Nathaniel. Thou art an Israelite, sorry. So Peter will say, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And you've kept back part of the price of the land. Why has it remained yours? Was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not your own? Why hast thou conceived these things in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Are we together, right? And Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him and buried him. It was about a space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, he came in, because there was no Facebook, no Twitter. It would have been trending. Past Minister Peter slaughters. Yeah, or Minister Peter slings by the Spirit a man called Ananias for lying. Yeah, that's how CNN would have taken it today, right? So after 3 hours, Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. So it means that as a minister or as a saint, right, you can actually be relating with someone, right, and know that they are going to lie. Let me say it differently. And know that there's a tendency that they will lie. And know that they are lying when they lie. So what did Peter say? He says, oh, well, and Peter answered and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried their husband or thy husband are at the door. He didn't stop there. He says, and they are there and shall carry thee out. Yeah, that means you can know by the Spirit. You can see. So what is word of knowledge? We said, word of knowledge can be summarized as knowing facts, are we together, knowing details, right, from the that will exist from the present into the past, are we together. So you can know facts by the Spirit. So listen to what I'm about to say to you. So it means that somebody can know facts about you that precedes you. So it means the facts that a believer can know about another believer, are we together, by the Spirit. The facts that a man can know about another man by the Spirit, right, is not limited to the date of birth of the man in question. What I'm saying to you is, you can know certain things that preceded my birth by the Spirit. You can know certain things by the Spirit. Yeah, you can know certain things by the Spirit. Yeah. Do you understand? So I remember having a conversation with someone a couple years ago, right? That's probably 3, 4, 5 years ago. I can't remember the exact date, you know? And one of the things that I saw by the Spirit was that before that child was born, there were a number of kids that were lost. Do you understand? So we can see by the Spirit, information, facts, events that precede your life. Are we together? Yeah, we can see by the Spirit events that precede. So that's why. So don't get it mixed up. So it means that. So you can see ministrations happening where people can tell facts about your father. Your father precedes you. Do you understand? Yeah, yeah. You see somebody saying the date of birth of your father, right? Or events your father did, or things your father did. You can, by the spirit, you can have those facts. You can know those facts, right? So word of knowledge usually be from the present backwards. Altogether. Now, let me say this carefully, and I've said it over time. Yeah, the ministry of the word of knowledge usually should flow alongside with the word of wisdom. Yeah, so what is word of wisdom? Word of wisdom will be, go back to John 1. Don't forget, we're in John chapter 1, 45, but we're really in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, so what is word of knowledge in John 1, 47? Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. How do you know me? Are we together? How do you know me? So can you see it's laughable to see believers in our world today say that everybody who knows it is by the Spirit is fake? Do you understand? It's laughable. And I've told you before, when somebody tells you everybody who knows word of knowledge or knows things by the Spirit is fake, right? The truth just remains that you don't need to get yourself to the point where you want to prove a point. You don't need to. Don't get yourself all worked up. Don't get yourself all worked up. Yeah, like I would always say, yeah, a lot of times people begin to acknowledge the supernatural help and advantage that believers can have when they are in their need of it, when they're in their point of need. No, you should get your heart in a solid place to be rounded in God's word, regardless of the situation. When things seem to be going fine, don't wait till a possibility or a time when things might end up going south before you start learning, oh, you can be led by the Spirit, oh, you can see by the Spirit, you can know things by the Spirit, you can actually have those experiences, right, all through your life as a believer because you are a believer. Okay, so what did Philip say? What did Nathanael say? Well, thou art really Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. This somebody who a few verses, but I mean, a few verses might mean so many things, but this somebody who from the writings of scripture a few verses ago says, can anything good come from Nazareth? All of a sudden, this is a rabbi from Nazareth. So Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 50, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than this. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, right? And the angels of the Lord descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. What is that? He has given information for the future. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter. Once you say hereafter, it means future conversation. So you can meet somebody and know histories about their past, and in the real sense, now know things about their future. Altogether, you can know things about their facts and know things about their future. So that's why you see sometimes, let me say differently. Yeah, a lot of times a word of wisdom might not come on the back of a word of knowledge. Listen to what I'm about to show you right now. A word of wisdom might not come on the back of a word of knowledge. What am I saying? Facts about the future, things that you might see in the future, might not come only when a word of knowledge has been established. No. However, when a word of knowledge is established, actually, it should bring much more edification, right, to that information. So it means that you don't just stop at giving people their information. Do you understand? So mind you, any information you are giving to someone, more often than not, they are aware of it already. But what they might not be able to see is the future. Or what they might need clarity more regarding is the future from that moment forward. Do you understand? So when you give tongues interpretation, your tongues interpretation can end with a prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Yeah, but in the real sense, when you start seeing yourself or as you're operating the things of the Spirit, you realize that your goal is 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I think verse 4, he says, for exhortation, edification, and to bring comfort. Altogether. Now, I understand that in the real sense, when you give somebody details about their lives that they never share with anybody, it's comforting in itself. But more often than not, it's just supposed to be a pre. Altogether. Yeah, because another person can say, well, I see from the angle of it means that God is intentional about with that, which is brilliant. Right? But much more than that is to get clarity for the coming days, clarity for the days ahead, clarity for the months ahead, clarity for the years ahead. You see, there are words that have gone ahead of me that I have started seeing in my life today. Altogether. And there are words that have gone ahead of me that I have not started seeing in my life today, but they've gone ahead. Altogether. Yeah? But they've gone ahead. Altogether. But they've gone ahead. But they've gone ahead. You see, I was told by my parents that there was a man who prophesied my birth and my sister's bed and my brother's bed in that order. I was together, right? Yeah. And the prophet has spoken to my family, to my dad and my mom at the time, and said, this is how you will give birth to your children. And this is what they will look like. And this is how they will serve God. Are we together, right? So he said there will be a boy, then there will be a girl. I can't remember details if names were mentioned, but I'm very certain, right? There were details about there will be a boy, there will be a girl, then there will be a boy. You will have three children. You see, that's giving a prophecy. That's being prophetic. That's talking about the future. That's seeing ahead. Are we together? Right, so you need to understand that when ministering to the spirit, exhortation, edification, comforts. Are we together? Right. Look at John 4. Look at John 4. Look at John chapter 4 quickly. John chapter 4. Go all the way to verse 20. No. Go all the way to verse 13. We look at verse 15. We looked at this on Sunday. Now the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. So he has finished preaching and all of those things. Then he says, go call thy husband and come hither. Go call thy husband and come hither. Are we together? So listen to what I'm about to say. I'm saying, by the things of the spirit in demonstration, you can capture the attention of people. Altogether. You see, Jesus captured the attention of Nathanael by giving a word of faith. Altogether. By giving by making prophetic statements, right? That will include word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Altogether. You see, I remember ministering after, it has happened a couple of times, but there was one that really stood out, right? There was somebody who had stopped. Right, I stopped to preach to the person, and the person was, you know, trying to walk away. Right, and as the person was walking away, I just mentioned his name. Do you understand? I just mentioned his name, right? And he, you know, you could tell that, you know, first of all, if you're on the streets, I'm talking about this was in the UK, right? And you know, if you're on the street and someone just calls your name, the first thing that comes to your mind is not, it should be like Nathaniel, where do you know me from? But the fact remains that you've captured that person by saying that. Altogether. So it means you can use the ministry of things of the spirit to get the attention and minister and then minister. Altogether. You know, you can find people who are very, very, very difficult. I'll give you an example over time of, you know, somebody who, you know, I described where his mother was, the pain the mother was going through, the sickness the mother was going through, what he came for. I'd mentioned a name that was not even a name I'd ever seen. I don't even remember the name today. Altogether. And that captured the attention. Altogether, then, you know, when you capture like that, your goal is to ensure that you end with the gospel as the message, so that that man can be born again or that woman can be born again. Yeah, so Jesus will meet a woman by the well, and you say, go and call your husband. Well, a conversation starts from there. I said, well, the woman will ask, I say, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you've said very well. So Jesus is saying, you are not the one that is actually trying to correct what I'm saying. What you are saying is the facts. Yeah, and let me show you that is the fact or something that we can know and I can know, and in fact I know by the spirit. He says, I have no husband, right? Yeah, for thou hast had five. That's not a guesswork, right? That's not guesswork. Yeah, that's not guesswork. You've had five, actually. And he, you know, Jesus could have gone further and called all their names. Do you understand? Right? For thou had had five husbands. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, right, the utterance says, the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. I'm saying you can actually be on one person and keep on being on that one person. Oh, gracious Father. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm saying you can actually be with, we're going to get there, definitely. Yeah? You can actually be with one person and stay with that person for a while. And you remember, I always say it over and over, right? I'm sure all of you were in that meeting, you know, that we had the last concerning spirituals, when we did a practical of that, right? I know you will never probably ever forget that in your lives. But I'm trying to say, we spent about 15 to 20 minutes are we together? Yeah, the record is online, right? It's there. It's not a bamboozling thing. It's there. Go and check the teaching of May 2023, right? 2023. And the funny thing is, that's one of the tracks or one of the meetings we've had like that where we didn't take that part offline. I was together. It was just something I just decided to leave there, really. Yeah. A lot of times we like, for instance, you see on Sundays when we minister, what happened? I tell us to take it offline or go offline. Yeah. Yeah. But one of the few you will find, just go to the website, just go to YouTube video, so that you can see the video and not the audio. You understand? Just go to May, last May. Yeah, I can't remember the date, but probably was wearing a white top, right? If I remember very well. Let's go there. We spent about 15 to 20 minutes on one individual. Now, interesting thing was that it was not an individual who was my friend or who was our friend. In fact, that was the person's first time in God's palace in their lives. In their life. Do you understand? So it's online. It's not a guesswork. So I'm trying to say that if Jesus wanted to know, Jesus could have gone further. But remember, it will all be to bring edification and exhortation. You can also have that, a mindset to ensure that you are trying to reassure the person you are speaking to that is you. I don't want to confirm it is you. See, let me say it this way. When somebody gives word of knowledge, don't wait for it to be three or four or five information before you act on it. No. A lot of times, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, yes, might make it double sure and strong, right? So we can have a meeting, for instance, where a name is mentioned by the Spirit, right? And several people are in relation, or they have somebody or know somebody like that. It might be different people, but we need to go further to be clear that, oh, the person I'm seeing is involved in this field, or the person I'm seeing has this number of children. The person I'm seeing is working in that office. You can be that definite. You can be that certain. You can be that clear. No gimmicks. Altogether. And I'm trying to say to you that if for any reason you find yourself in a position where the person you are ministering to says you are lying, you are wrong, your point is not to prove a point. Your point is to ensure edification, exhortation, comfort happens. Are we together? So when you're in a believer's meeting, for instance, and you ask a question, maybe in your subunit, and you ask a question, who is this person? Who has something to do with this person? Right? If nothing else is, if there's nothing else you have at that point to minister, but I'm saying to you that there is something else you can minister that is a word of wisdom. Altogether, yeah, you could say, so you could just say what the person who is involved with it should do or to act on, right? And just drop it there. Altogether. So you have conversations where, for instance, you minister to someone and you ask somebody, it has happened severally. In fact, I can't count, it probably into his tens, right? In their tens. When you minister to someone, you give certain facts. In fact, sometimes people forget the names of their siblings. I don't know what happens, maybe the tension or whatever it is, right? But sometimes people forget, like, oh, I was the one that brother spoke about in that meeting. I was the one that I spoke about in that meeting. Oh, I'm the one that knows this person. I'm the one that knows this fact about this person. Oh, it's actually me that this person was talking about. Yeah, imagine going for a believer's meeting, right? And you had a conversation with someone maybe a few days ago, a few minutes ago. So you see, for instance, we've had conversations in the local church, or we've had ministry in the local church where we will say conversations that people had before they came to church. You can see those things. But you must ensure that you don't end with, oh, I saw that you're having a conversation with this person and you mentioned the name of the person. That's okay. But there's something more that you have the ability to say, right? Just to ensure there is comfort, exhortation, edification that is brought, to the forefront. So Jesus will say, well, this thou hast said truly, right? The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in the mountain. You say we should worship in Jerusalem, right? Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me for the hour comes. Right, worship when men will neither worship in the mountain of Jerusalem but worship the Father. You worship ye know not what we know, you worship ye know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour comment and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they which worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And look at what 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, will he tell us all things? And what did Jesus say unto her? I that speak unto thee am he. Right? So Jesus brings a revelation to her knowledge. Okay? Right? And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Right? Yet no man said, what seeketh thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left the water pot to go and do what? What did Paul say will happen? And report of a truth, God is not. So what did she do? She went to report to say of a truth. See what she said, what the Bible says. Woman left the water pot and went away to sit there and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this the Christ? Then they went out to the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. That means he was probably fasting. Right? Yeah, someone said that the reason a lot of time we're not sensitive is because we eat a lot. How we together? Yeah, you know, like I would always say, right? Yeah, so what does fast, who does fasting help? If it's you, it helps. Not the one you go and fool your stomach. I'll be talking from your stomach. Yeah. So fasting helps. Is a spiritual exercise you could engage. We have our fasting as a church in the next coming weeks as well, right? Yeah. So it's something you should engage with. It works on you, works on your person. It is for you, it is for your sake. I was together. So they were asking him, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said disciples one to another, hath any man brought him food to eat? That means they're saying, when we went, did anybody bring our master food? And Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Can you see? When Jesus says this, what is he saying? Priority. He's not saying Jesus fasted all through his life or from his birth. He didn't eat anything. No. I was together, right? So it's in priority, right? Yeah. So it's very important for you to see that the ministry of things of the spirit, it is to birth. I'm going to notice something. When Jesus, listen to what I'm about to say right now. When Jesus ministered to Nathanael, right, the word of wisdom that came along, it was sort of linked to ministry. It was sort of linked to something supernatural, spiritual. Yeah, behold, you see heaven open and, you know, angels are set at the end. Even though yet from scriptures, you have that in Genesis 28, you know, in Jacob's narrative and everything. But do you also see that ministration that Jesus had to with this woman made the woman as well to do something around ministry, that is to go and arouse a message altogether? Now, I'm not saying that every time you minister must end. No. But the truth is that the background, the foreground will have. So what I'm saying is your ministration is not to end with conclusions are let me say this carefully, right? If every time we ask you to minister and all you see is prosperity, all you see is I see money flooding your pockets today. You say, I see money flooding your pockets. And tomorrow you say, and I see your bank full of surplus. Let me say this carefully. You know, your doctrinal persuasions and knowledge come out when you are to minister the things of the Spirit. That's the truth. Altogether, that's the truth. Where your heart is, where your conviction is. So a lot of times, when I see people minister, I can know what their doctrinal persuasion is linked to, is hinged to. Altogether, see, can you by the Spirit know certain things not to do and certain things to do that might help or end up bringing out something, you know, beautiful and lovely for your financial state? Can you know by the Spirit? We were in church a few days ago where we knew by the Spirit about something somebody should have done or should do at their workplace. Like I told you, or like I tell you over time, don't now go and be saying, what if I didn't do it? What would have happened? You see, life, there's some things that it is one of. And if you don't do it, or if you do it, you don't have, because we are not all knowing, you don't have the privilege to know what would have happened if you did not do it, or if you did it altogether. You don't know the privilege. You see, I'll give an example. You know, life is so interesting, right? Someone invited me for a wedding in the coming weeks. Now, I'm going to say something very, very important about this. Now, that person's best friend, from probably 10 years ago, when school, I used to like a lot of cake. I used to like cake. So cake used to be something that I really used to turn down. I can turn it down right. I can turn it now. Yeah, I can turn it down now. Okay. Yeah. But it's something that I usually rarely turn down. So I can eat cake for Africa. I can eat cake for, you know, Jamaica. I just love cake. I love icing. I love all those things. You know, for instance. And I was in school. This was my second or my third year. This was probably 2014, 2015. Now, do you know that when somebody was doing a birthday, right? And the person had given me a very, very a wrapped cake in foil paper, big, huge. Yeah. I mean, you know, people call me YBJ. YBJ deserves big cake, beautiful, lovely. Give me the cake, fine. And I got the cake. Do you know that as I was heading to the hostel, I just sensed, don't eat. See, let me tell you something. Please listen to me, dear sinners. when instructions are given by the Spirit, either from your personal experience and journey with God or from other believers, ensure that you don't disobey. See, life is one. Somebody said, I see you should not pass this road. And you trust that person is speaking by the Spirit. Let's even assume your pastor, for instance. Well, I feel it's just like I've said over the weeks. I said we should be careful about our health. Just like I said over time, I was seeing fire burning in someone's house. Right? You'll be very, very ridiculously interesting that the moment you believe that what you think should make you believe that that was by the Spirit is to see that somebody comes and say, pray, it's Master Jesus. Right? I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. But my real testimony is that, you know, when pastor was ministering on the 24th of, if you are waiting for that, if that is how you are viewing your Christian life, you will miss out on a lot. You will lose out on a lot. So you're trying to wait for someone to say, fire caught the window, but it didn't capture the whole house. And the reason why it didn't capture the whole house is because it was set. I'm trying to say that you might never have that experience of, even the person I spoke to in that service might never have anything catch fire in their house. But I'm saying that because you act on it, find solace and happiness and joy in the fact that you've acted on an instruction, at least that you know is by the Spirit altogether. Because, if the fields or the roads or whatever or the actions were swept, not everybody survived the repercussion of disobedience to live to tell the story. Yeah, pastor says, I'm seeing something happening around, and I'm going to minister something on Sunday, actually, and I'm seeing it ahead, okay? Yeah, but this is not what I'm ministering on Sunday is not what I'm ministering now. But my pastor says, I could see a very fatal accident happening on M8, yeah? And this is an example, this is not utterance, okay? And I just say that, and you now, and pastor gives an instruction and says, or even a believer, just says, you might want to use another route to go home. But you, because you want to talk believers' authority. You want to talk believers' authority on this matter. I'm saying this is a clear situation where there's an alternative. Yeah? You now go on M8, you now hold your two steering with your full hands, with your two hands to ensure that no matter the breeze that blow, you are not moving, you are there. Yeah, there's no point getting yourself in that position. Yeah? Because I'm trying to say it might be one thing that can happen. And whoever is involved might not live to tell the story of how they obeyed. Because clearly they disobeyed. This is what I'm trying to say. Don't get yourself trying to look for, results are beautiful, results are good. Evident, you just are lovely, beautiful, right? Yeah, you see, almost on weekly, monthly basis, I keep hearing conversations from, you know, a lot of you, both here in Nigeria, church, other people who I disciple around the world. And I keep hearing testimonies of, you said this will happen, this is what happened, it's already happened. Yeah, but my obedience to God's word, or my obedience to God's instruction, or my obedience to voice out God's instruction is not based on the fact that I'm looking for, in quote, testimony. The testimony, the report that people will say of a truth. Don't get your Christian faith there, because sometimes you might not recover from it. There are people who have gone down that route and they've not recovered from it. They've not recovered from it. Yeah, so I was talking about somebody who gave me cake. And as I was heading back to my host, a big, I'm saying a proper cake that should probably fit like 5 people. Yeah, and I just sensed in my heart, don't eat it. And what happened? I got back to the hostel, and just so that I'm not tempted to eat it, I gave it out. Do you know the funny thing? A few minutes into hours after that giving out, I went to my room, because I think I was alone that year. I think I lived alone that year, and I went back to my room, and I laid on my bed. And I don't know what happened. In a short period of time, I felt so in my record of being in school, that's the only day I felt that sick. I'm going to say I've never felt that sick in my life. That's the only day I felt that they had to rush me to the hospital, to the clinic at the time then. That was the only day that thing happened. The question is, I hope you see where I'm going to already. So imagine I ate that cake. Do you actually think I'll go for the wedding? I'm talking about the best friend of the person having a wedding in coming days. That's what I think. Do you actually? You know what can go to my mind now? Hey, you want to? You didn't work 10 years ago. You want to try this now? Is it like I call myself the brother of Jesus? Just by simple obedience. The truth is that it would have taken me years, months into years, to work on my mind to undo an impression or an illusion, right? That will state in my mind and subconscious that person tried to kill me. I'm saying we are humans. I'm saying that can happen. Do you understand? But guess what? So the reason for not eating that cake that day is not to escape poison from somebody, but to escape a relationship that is seared. Do you see that? The reason for not eating that cake that day is not to escape initiation. It's not to escape poison. No, it's to escape the tendency and possibility of that relationship. Because in my head, imagine I'm not preaching today, and I say somebody poison, and I'm very sure the poison. As I ate it, my body took it. But it's God that saved me. You know, that can be my testimony as well. If I ate that cake, and this is 10 years after. Yeah? Yeah? The reward for obeying the leading of the Spirit, the reward of obeying the instructions by the Spirit should be obedience, should be in the fact, you should gain satisfaction in the fact that you are that obedient. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to understand it. Yeah? You know, I can as well begin to say that, but I gave people, but clearly I gave that cake to other people. Nobody fell ill. Altogether. You know, there's a tendency that I can eat that cake with other people. All of us will eat it. Only me will fall ill. And the thing I will say to myself, because you know, man has a way of wanting to, you know, work on their conscience to believe certain things. I can wake up and just say, well, the reason why it only affected me is because when they were putting the poison, they called my name, Joshua, 3 times. Yusuf, 4 times. YBJ, 10 times. Do you get the point? Right? So don't always get yourself trying to, you know, explain, justify. Just act on the instructions of God. Just act on it. So there's some of you, they will tell you, do you have anything to do with this name? Do you have anything to do with that name? They will tell you, God will have you to, you know, set that person's track or that person's life on track. And maybe the instructor will now say, and for in doing that, you're going to alter the course of a lineage. Yep. Think about the men who God is using around the world, and imagine if they did not obey the leading. Yes, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, if God does not use this one to use other people, I'm saying yes. But I'm saying, look at people who have blessed your lives. Yeah. We can say, oh, imagine I didn't pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. Imagine I didn't pay attention to, you know, to God's voice and instruction over my life over the years. You can say, oh, well, if you're in Edinburgh today or you're in Glasgow tomorrow, you will find another church. Church is solution to another church is another church. But you see, you need to understand that in life, you will not always have that definite explanation that suits your, what's the word, that suits your, sometimes it can be ego. It can be ego. And Acts 9. Let me go to Acts 9 quickly. I hope you're learning something from this today. So that's why when instructions are given, write it down. Some of you, they will give you details. They will give you details about people. They will say about someone. They will say, go and tell this person this, or say a word of prayer with this person. You will not act on it. You just nod your head and say, okay. And you will act on it. You will act on it. You know, there's sometimes you will see certain things and you might not voice it out. So for instance, if you are someone like me, for instance, which I expect everyone should be in regards to relationship, like I always tell you, there are relationships I have, right, that when it comes to ministerial conversations, when it comes to ministerial clarity around ministry and some things, I have people who I speak to. I was together, right? I remember there was something I saw recently, and you know, today I've not said anything. I told my wife, and I told, you know, a friend of mine, right? And I didn't tell the details of what I saw, but I saw something, and I said, "Let's pray for this person." Yeah, see, what I will not be doing is to be looking forward for something terrible to happen to the person, so I can now say to myself, It could have been worse if not because I prayed. Or imagine I didn't pray at all and something bad now happens. And as I say, and God told me to pray, and I didn't pray. You see, you don't know the lives of people, the lives of people in their thousands and decades that you are influencing by one obedience to God. Some of us are so selfish and we think our life is about us. It's only us, how I feel. This is how I feel. And because this is how I feel, I'm the most knowledgeable and the most intelligent person in the world. Because this is how I think, this is how it should be. No, you can't afford to live life that way. You can't afford to be selfish. You can't afford to put yourself as be self-centered. Yeah, don't let it be that you're acting on instruction by the Spirit to any degree it concerns you. It's not. It should not be like that. No, it should not be like that. It should not be like that. It shouldn't 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 be like that. You need to ensure that you just act in obedience. Just ensure you act, because you don't know what will happen down the line. Years down the line. Let me give you a quick story. You see, over a decade ago, probably 10 into 15 years ago, right? There was a man called Pastor Amos Yusuf. That's my father, right? You know, over a decade ago, you know, he was led by the Spirit to do certain things to a woman. Yeah? A woman who was at the point of, you know, point of sickness, point of death. And we're together. And he acted by the Spirit and did something by the Spirit. And that action he did changed the course of that woman's life and her generation. I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago, right? He acted by the Spirit. The action he did by the Spirit, you see, what I'm saying to you, I never heard it from him. I heard it from the woman. This is 10, 15 years ago. As at 10, 15 years ago, I did not know the woman. Are we together? But in the middle of the night, he acted on that instruction, right? And ministered healing to that woman 10, 15 years ago, right? I'm talking about proper 10, 15 years ago, if not more. I'm trying to be very conservative with numbers, because we're in 2024 right now, and when the closest I can remember as to what we're living in that environment was probably 15 years ago, right? So I'm saying an average of 15 years ago, there was a man, Pastor Amos Yusuf, who acted, you know, on the lead of the Spirit, right, and ministered healing to a woman, right, and the woman was delivered from death. The woman was rescued from death. Listen to what I'm saying to you today. That's 15 years ago. And guess what? I'm saying to you again, I did not know the woman 15 years ago. And I met the woman for the first time in my life, in the history of my life, 4 or 5 years ago. And guess what? That woman is the mother of my wife today. Yeah? And that woman is the mother of my wife today. That was 15 years ago. Are we together? Yeah? Mind you, it's not because the woman found it. Let me tell you, in summary, what happened? I've already started dating my wife. My wife took me to introduce me to her. And she saw the look-alike between my father's face and my face. And she, I'm saying something that was that gross. She can't forget it in her life. Are we together? Right? And, you know, the question that came is, your name is Yusuf. Are you Pastor Amos Yusuf's son? I said, that's my dad. I imagine the woman is now describing to her daughter. Do you remember that man 15, then it should have been 10, 11 years ago? And that's the son. I'm not saying you should go and be praying because your children will marry in the future. If that's all you got here, you've missed the point. I'm saying, who would have thought that I would find myself in the city of Edinburgh doing my master's to meet the daughter of the woman of 15, then it wasn't 15 years, over 10 years ago. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that the woman, the daughter herself, was in the room when the man himself came into that room to get her healed? She was there as a young kid and saw him and remembered I saw him. But when we were talking, she never knew me in connection to him. Never remembered his face. I'm trying to say there are things you do, it's not only for yourself. There are things you do, it's not. That's why, so for instance, when we say live a kind of righteous life, live a kind of holy life, live a kind of, yes, you know you are sanctified, you are righteous. It's not your living and your works that makes you perfect in Christ. But I'm trying to say that your life is not just about you. Your life is not just about you. See, you don't know the one person you will preach to that will take the gospel to Greece, that will take the gospel to Athens. You don't know the one person you will minister to that will take the gospel to the ends of affairs, for instance, or of affairs. You know, the one person you will minister to that you don't know. You don't know. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know the causes. You know, sometimes, and it happens to me as well. I mean, over the years, definitely, I've gotten better with it. But sometimes you have certain promptings to say to people on the train, on the tram. I minister a lot when I'm in transit. Maybe I'm going on taxi, I'm on the bus, or I'm flying. I minister a lot on that. But I'm trying to say to you that I don't minister every time. But I'm saying to you that even me, as a pastor, there are times when I have certain promptings. And for some reason, I might just explain it away. I'm trying to say I'm getting better over the years. So I'm saying, if that's what happens to you, you were not, I was with you before. But what I think is that I've learned to yield to God's spirit better over the years. Are we together? I've learned to yield to God's spirit better over the years. I've learned to yield to God's spirit better over the years. You see, I was with somebody who went to school with me years ago. When we were in school, I wasn't really close to him. You know, but you know the funny thing? One of the things that he said to me, what we just saw recently, was that, do you remember the day you spoke to me and you ministered to me in school? I was probably in my third or fourth year. Honestly, I can't remember. You see, let me tell you something. A lot of time when I minister, I don't keep details. I don't remember. So some of you will say, Pastor, do you remember when you ministered this? I cannot remember. Because the ministration is plenty. It's plenty. That's the truth. What am I saying is plenty to you? For you to see, I yield more. It's simple. If you are remembering every word of knowledge you've ever given, if you are remembering every details of every ministration you've ever done, then that means not so plenty. Yes, and if you yield more, you minister more, you will find out to a very large extent that you will not remember a lot. In fact, there's some things I say. I remember in the last meeting we had in Rikindo, I was meeting with someone, and I said, I'm going to speak to that person in the next 4 or 5 weeks. But I said something, and after I said it, I caught myself. I'll say what I'm saying. So the person is on Discord, the person is watching me, right? I said something, right? And after I said it, it just dawned on me that you should not, yeah? Yeah. And in the real sense, this one, I remember this one particularly because of how I caught myself. Yeah, but I'm saying there are lots of times where I would never remember. There are lots of times I will never remember. Lots of times I will not recollect. And this brother said to me that 10 years ago that he was, because of the pressure of some things that were happening, that he was at the point of trying to commit suicide. And he said, I was the only one in the entire school that walked up to him and said something to him. And he said that was God's voice to him that saved him from committing suicide. Yeah. I don't want to tell you details of the influence he has right now in 10 years. Just one leading and one acting. And the funny thing is, he quoted the words I said to him. He quoted it, we're having lunch together. And he quoted it to me. And he said, these were the words you said. How you said it, how you knew, I don't know. But these were the words you said. And he said that saved me from suicidal thoughts. You don't know who you are speaking to. You are getting on the train. You don't know who is on the train with you, who is on the plane with you, who they are actually just traveling to the point or to the place. They have the rope in their back. They are traveling to the place where they want to hang themselves. They've already bought the poison in their bag. They're traveling. And the truth is that because the Spirit of God, right, is readily available for interactions with us, yet a lot of times we know. We just suppress it. We just explain the way, hey, how would they feel? It could be as simple as, I hope to know that Jesus loves you. You know, I ministered to someone a while ago, right? There are always plenty, definitely. I ministered to someone a while ago, and I just said, I just introduced myself. I just wanted to say to you that Jesus loves you, and he loves you so much. And the person broke down into tears, right in the middle of the road, into tears. Do you understand? My question to you is, what are you doing today? I'm trying to use lean of the Spirit to show you recognizing promptings in word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You get, if you are not, so a lot of times I can know your spiritual fervency when I see you minister. That's the truth. If every time they call you to minister, right? Yeah, because we have ears, we have eyes, we are seeing. Every time they call you to minister, yeah, year one is one thing you will say. Year two is that same thing you will say. Year three, the same thing. Year four, year five, the same thing. Then year six, you go and look for synonym of the same thing. Then continue again. And it just really means you don't have a prayer life. you don't have a supernatural life outside of church. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm not saying you should come and try and impress the next believers, so they will not say you don't have frequency. Nah. But I'm trying to say your spiritual frequency of fervency in the midst of the saints reflects on the kind of spiritual life we live outside the church. Yeah, you cannot be an effective prayer man outside the church and you are acting like a desiccal for 15 minutes prayer, 20 minutes prayer, 1 hour prayer. No. It just shows that outside the church, you don't have a prayer life altogether, right? If someone says, minister word of knowledge, minister, see, this year they call you, come and minister. You see, all I see peace. Okay, good. We see peace. Lovely. And next month, what do you see? I see peace. Sister B. And brother Q. Yeah. Next month again, what do you say? I just sense peace. Then the next one, I say, I just sense peace. But I see this peace that passes all understanding. My brother, you don't have a consistent spiritual flow outside of local church. My sister, you don't have it. 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 Let it be that the first time they ask you to minister, you see peace. But next time you go to minister, you give certain details that you can end up with peace. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in ministering peace. I'm trying to say that if we see that, do you know what I'm trying to say? Imagine you have a child, right? And at age five, at age two, all he or she can do is to count 1 to 15 or to 50. Age five, 1 to 50, that's all. Age 20, 1 to 50. It just really means they're not working something. They're not working. I'm talking about a child who you definitely clearly know. That's not as if the doctor say pay a special child name. No. I'm saying you know a child that actually it looks like eating well, growing well, feeding well, but age 20 can only count 1 to 50. There's something that is not being exercised. There's something that is not being trained. Same thing with the things of the spirit. Same thing with things of the spirit. You see, there should be that growth in your life such that today you will say, now you might be raw today, right? And you get more refined tomorrow. Let's see, if you look at my hand carefully, right? A lot of times, the journey is gradual. So you start from a point where you might say, oh, today they call it, what do you see? I'm just sensing joy. Okay, fine. We will say, glory, hallelujah. But let it not be that the next time when we want to sense joy, we just say, brother, please, want to see by the Spirit, because we already know what you will see is joy. Altogether. But let it be that, you know, you start from here, you say, I sense joy, right? But you don't understand what it comes from. Okay, you keep listening to God's word. You go out to keep edifying yourself. You keep instructing yourself. You know, you can use your life as a temperature gauge. Right? You can use your life personally as a temperature gauge. Give yourself to the word. Give yourself to prayer. Go practice it in the office. Do it to random people you've never known, you might never see again, you might never know. To give expression to yield to God's ability, to yield to God's power. Let it be, it starts from, I see joy. Right? You go for that from man saying, I see joy. You see, there's somebody who has something to do with this. Spirit of God says you should give yourself to joy. Mm-hmm. That's day two. Day two does not necessarily mean day one, day two. I'm just trying to say the second time. The third time is there's somebody who actually is waiting for something. And you can say, oh, you're actually waiting for this to happen so that you can be definite, right? But what I could see more is actually you giving yourself to rejoicing. And not rejoicing, I think you already said, I'm not rejoicing. That means you started growing. You understand? And the time will now come as well. And you just say, I'm seeing the name joy. Right, but not joy in regards to an action that we will take, but joy really about somebody's name who is joy. We are getting there, you know. And you cannot say, and the Spirit of God will have you ask your name because you are what you understand. You've grown, not day one, I see joy, day two, I see joy, day three, I see joy, day four, I see joy, day five, I see brother joy, brother joy. Understand? Yeah, I'm saying to you that every time you were seeing joy, there were other things you were seeing, but you were suppressing. But because maybe you didn't want to be wrong, you didn't want them to be, you just say, I think I'm safe with joy. I know some of you, hopefully we don't have those in God's parts. Yeah, don't be that person who knows that whatever they call you to minister, you know what you will take joy. Every time they call, you know what you say? Peace. Every time it's I see fear. I see fear. I see fear. You change fear. Fear on the horizon. Fear on the horizon. Like see darkness, loomy, gloomy. You can get more refined. Practice it more. Let me tell you, when I started doing tongues and interpretation years ago, I wasn't this fluent, right? I was looking through my laptop a few weeks ago, and I saw one of the utterances I gave, tongue interpretation, right? Maybe last year or thereabout, and it was just something that we had in a leaders meeting, and I saw that I was giving tongue interpretation for 20 minutes. Do you understand? I'm trying to say there's no how I could have given tongues interpretation for 20 minutes. 10 years ago, 7 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe I'd have done 5, I'd have done 10. Do you understand how those years, it would be a question of, where will I really land? What will I really say? But see, today, I just stay and I'm here and I'm there for 20 minutes, I'm just going. Not to show up, not to brag, but I'm just communicating God's word. I'm just coming, and everything that is being said makes sense. So your knowledge in God's word will be revealed. So the extent of God's word you have will also help refining your refine your ministration. I don't know why I'm dwelling on this today, but I'm sure it's going to help you, right? I'm trying to help you again as well. I am ahead of Sunday, right? No, don't let them call you for. You can actually be ready. You can actually be ready. No, I just will not say, Sita Soto and so, edify us. I'm going to try to close the eye and say, okay, I'm saying if that's what you do or you did 5 months ago and you are doing it now, you are not growing. Let me say that differently. If that is what you did 5 months ago and you are still doing that same thing today, you don't have you don't have a spiritual pattern, a spiritual sense of commitment outside local church. You don't. It's impossible. So before you see me do 20 minutes interpretation of tongues on the altar, you would have caught me in my private prayer time, right, doing 30 minutes. Right. In fact, a couple days ago, I was giving tongue interpretation on a walk for 40 minutes, no stop, 40 minutes. I was just walking, opened my eyes, and I was just talking in tongues and interpreting for 40 minutes, no stop, 40, no break, 40, just me. I went together. So if I'm doing 40, you will see me do 20 in church now. You see me do 25 in church. You see me do 10. You understand what I'm trying to say? But if you are doing one in church every time, one, it means I doubt you even have two minutes outside of the church. So you think you can wake up? Don't let it be that when life challenges hit the ground, right, that's when you start building, because of that, I'm going to wake up every morning 6 a.m. Until this thing goes. I grew up learning something about push. They say pray until something happens. If that's your mindset, you won't have a prayer culture. Believer does not pray until something happens. Bible says men ought to pray and pray always. So it means when something happens, you keep praying. You don't pray so that until you see results. No, build a culture, build a lifestyle. So we're going to come to church on Sunday as well, right? So what we say is type of believer meeting. I can tell you for free that at that point, every believer present has something to say. Every believer has something to say. Every believer has something to say, right? But when you start saying, No, we didn't say shout, we didn't say increase your volume, we said minister to us. So the tongues that you'd have kept under your breath should be or would have or will be sufficient, right, up until the point I call your name to minister. Are we together? So let it be that as you are speaking in tongues, you are not trying to do 15 minutes. No. Don't be that brother or sister. When we have believers meeting, you are the one we're always coming back to. We'll come back to you. I'm going to come back. It's good. We come back to you in your first service. The first day you came to church, the second day, the first month, the second month. But 10 months after, 2 years after, I'm coming back to you. No. You're not growing. You see, you can grow in every aspect of your life except your spiritual life. It's possible. And the most important is your spiritual life. It's your spiritual life. Altogether. So how do you get better in word of knowledge? You practice it more. How do you get better in the things of the spirit? You practice it more. How do you get yourself better in tongues interpretation? You practice it more. See, you can do tongues interpretation in your room. Record it and play it and listen to yourself. In fact, it's something you should do regularly. You know, some of you, I know you don't like to hear your voices. I used to be there a couple years ago, right? But I can't do without hearing my voice now. Yeah, I can't do without hearing my voice now. In fact, almost if you catch me on a random day, you know, maybe in the car, I'm just going somewhere and I'm not really studying, you'll probably hear me hearing my voice or hear myself. Are we together? Yeah, you have to get used to it. But I'm saying to get better, you can pick your recorder and just put your phone down and just, you know, sing in the Holy Ghost, talk in the Holy Ghost. You can get Psalms. Do you understand? We ask you to come to and give us sound. You'll be singing, you know, you'll be singing. What? Let it be that we ask you to give us sound today, right? All you gave us by the Spirit was two lines. Let me tell you, brother, 1 year after, you gave us two lines. 3 years after, you gave us 1.5 and just say it's a chant. you just say, I'm a child of God. Repeat it 50 times. Brother. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. There's a place for that. But I'm saying, don't be the one that your psalm is one line and just say, sing it. This time you say, do re mi. Next time you say, re mi fa. This is over. I am good. I am good. I am good in Christ. I am good. I am good. I am good. Oh, that's a good psalm. But I'm saying, don't stay there. Let's start getting our psalm to choruses. Let there be chorus. Let there be stanza. You understand? Let it be cross, let it be stanzas. I have a story, I don't know how true it is. The man who sang "When Peace Like a River," it was just a hymn that he just got by the Spirit. When in fact, what I heard was that he was, you know, he was going for a missions work, right? Evangelism and all those things. But he has sent his wife and his kids ahead, right, on a boat or something like that. And the funny thing was that unfortunately the boat capsized and it sank and everybody on that boat perished. So when he was now going eventually for the meeting, he got to the point where the boat capsized, and they were telling him that that's where it happened. I see by the Spirit, I just heard that, what I heard, like I said, right? He just sang that song, and that's the song we're seeing, stanza one, stanza two, stanza three, by the Spirit. But mind you, it is his knowledge that would have helped him in that point, at that point. Yeah, if we hear your song, I would say, come and give us a psalm. They shall die by fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. They shall die by fire by the thunder of the Holy. They shall die by. We'll just carry you outside with your whiskey. That one is not psalm. That one is sir. Yeah, that one is sir. Yeah. So let your doctrine fill your heart. Let God's word fill your heart. Let your devotion be consistent. Let it be. So I'm saying to you that devotion fuels your expression of the things of the Spirit. Listen to what I just said. Devotion fuels your expression of the things of the Spirit. Consecration fuels your expression. I didn't say consecration gives you the things. No. That's the mistake a lot of us make. We think, so you hear a man say, oh, I operate in some gifts. And the reason why I operate in this gift is because I went for 40 days dry fasting. What he means to say that he should get is that he has tamed his flesh. He has given his heart, his consecration, his devotion to the things of God so he can aid or help in his expression. You get? Your devotion helps your expression in the things of the Spirit. Yeah? Your devotion helps your expression of the things of the Spirit. Your consecration helps your expression of the things of the Spirit. Right, your devotion, your consecration does not give you the ability to minister. No, it doesn't give you the Spirit. No, you don't pray 40 days to get the Spirit, but 40 days can help to fine tune. Yeah, imagine, see, you cannot put a man, let me tell you for free. See, you don't see men who God uses around the world and they don't have a solid life of consecration. There's a life of consecration. Yeah, you might know doctrine more than them in your mind. You might know the Greek word, they don't know Greek word. But there's a sense of consecration that fuels your devotion. There's a sense of consecration that fuels your expression of the things of the Spirit. Yeah? Yeah? There's some things that fuels it. It fuels it. It fuels. I remember, you know, in 2011, thereabouts, you know, I locked myself up for 3 days listening to a man called Pastor Chris Oyakilomi. Locked him up for 3 days. And my family were in the main house. I was in the boys' quarters. Just locked myself. I didn't see any of them. I didn't see my father, my mother, none of my dad. You know, privileged as I am, as I was. Handed over his key to his office, his library to me, and I locked myself there, you know, no feeding, no eating, no, nobody gave me food. I was there. I was just listening to the man, Pastor Chris Oyakilomi. And you see, it was from those are some of the days that pour a lot of supernatural things in me. just there, just talking in tongues, reading his books, just talking in tongues, reading his books, just studying, praying, listening to his messages, seeing how he ministers, seeing how he casts out devils, right? You know, see people on the wheelchair and just lays hand on them, commands the evil spirit to leave, and he just says, "You are healed." And he just says, he's healed, and he walks away. And the person who didn't have a limb, the person who did not have the stance, oh my dear, do not think that your consecration does not play a role. Do not think. Your consecration helps you, it fine-tunes you. Are we together? Let it be that when you come born again, it takes you 10 minutes to cast out a devil. No, don't use 1 hour to cast out a devil. 10 years in your Christian faith. No. I don't now come and explain to us, you know, devils are different. No, you should not be doing 2 hours on one devil. You should not be doing 10 hours. Do you understand? You should have those ways. You should have the way to drop God's power. Oh, gracious Father, thank you, Lord. You should have a way to communicate God's power and get better at it over time. And I hope you've been instructed by this. You see, and the year, another year approaches, right? It's actually coming and calling for the need for much more devotion and consecration from each and every one of us. Yes. In the coming year, you will not allow your office distract you from being devoted. You will not allow your office. You will allow your jobs. You will allow your wife. You will allow your husband. You will allow your child, boy, girl. You will allow none of them. Nothing will distract you. Nothing will get you. Stay committed. You know, I always say this a lot of times, right? There are certain ways we behave, and it's only because we think that we're not the ones that are leading, or we think that, I'm saying that some of us, the same things we do, we will not do them if we're pastors. Yeah. If you were to be teaching and having a disciple, and you will not just miss church, you will not just act as you will. No, you will not. Altogether, you will not, right? You can have a devotion. You know, you can be so devoted and so certain and sure, and people know, because it's evidence. That's how you see in Acts 1. You see in Acts 1, we're going to pick someone to replace Judas. See in Acts 6, we'll pick Deacons. It is evident. Your devotion is not just for yourself. We say, come online, come on Google Meet. Let's meet on Wednesdays, right? Yeah, you just pop in, pop out, eventually just tell us you're on YouTube. Eventually, just no. See, it is, we are, everybody's watching. Yeah. And it will be unfortunate for you as a believer to say, I don't care what anybody says or do. You are not called into a life of isolation. The things you do affect me. The things I do affect you. Imagine you wake up tomorrow and hear negative news about me, maybe one naughty news about me. Either true or it is not true. The fact is that because you are associated with God's presence, it affects you. Same thing. Appears. That's why you say the reason why they behave that way is because their pastor is teaching them to behave anyhow. We are all related. We are interconnected. There's a way you behave. It's a community we have been called into. So the coming year, you make up your mind. You give yourself consistently to it. You actually have your calendar and in your calendars and diaries that once in a week and once in a month, you give yourself to tongues and interpretation for 1 hour, and do it for 12 months. Your life can never remain the same. Yeah, you might find out that in your first time when you do 1 hour, you would have maybe stop, you will sing. Second time, you will stop, you will sing, you listen to the word, you stop, you will sing, you know. But you just realize that after like 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, you're now doing interpretation. And you're just talking, you just mention names, you mention facts. Yeah, that's how you grow. So we ought to live ready. Are we together? We ought to live ready. Yeah, let me just close in 1 Corinthians 12 this evening. I didn't touch Acts 9 and Acts 10. And that's a lot of talking today. I didn't touch Acts 9. But look at 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, we're just in we took a detour from verse 8. For to one, that is certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another is the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another is faith by the same Spirit. Another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. So today we looked at word of knowledge. Right, we looked at word of knowledge and looked at word of wisdom, and we try to build it on the bedrock of discernment, right? And by extension, we said discernment into the leading of the Spirit. Well, I hope and trust that has instructed your heart, and much more than you just listening passively, you actually act on it. You act on it. Have those times and days of devotion. right? Yes, a husband should have his private prayer time. A wife should have her prayer, private prayer time. A child, as it grows, as she grows, should have a prayer, their own prayer time. But it should be those times than these when you come together as a family, right? And just minister to yourself. You know you can save your wife from a trouble at work. You know you can do that by the Spirit. You know you can save your husband from trouble at work. You know you can save your child from trouble in the office or trouble in the school. You know your child too can save you. Yeah? Happy are you when you give these things or give your devotion, you know, today to ensuring, I'm not saying you must be a married person or be in the family before you can. I'm just trying to say the fact that you are married or the fact that you are in the family just means you have one more person as a believer that is at your beck and call, if that's a word. Yeah. So have those days where you just minister by the Spirit and just give tongues, give interpretations, edify yourself, give instructions, right? Like I taught you last week. When your wife is giving instructions, your husband gives you, say, why? No. Yeah. You know, there's sometimes you will just say things. And that's why it's good to build a spirit-filled atmosphere in your home. I'm not saying every time be in the Spirit. No, you can't always be in the Spirit. And I advise you not to always be in the Spirit. Your pastor said it. And there'll be times you will eat now. You'll come down from that mountain. There'll be times you'll satisfy, you know, praise God, every other thing. Yeah. But much more than that is to have a supernaturally charged environment where you can just say, are you catching the train for 9:15 a.m. I'm just saying a need for you to wait for the next train. Not to wait for the next train. You now go and be saying, let me see what BBC says. Is there any news regarding train in Livingston? Is there any news regarding train in Bam? That's not for you. Yeah, I've said that a lot in this meeting. That's not what you do. But because you have a charged environment, you are able to receive, communicate, throw tongues to yourself, receive interpretation, throw words of knowledge to your husband, throw word of wisdom back to yourself, throw prophecies to yourself. Just bounce in the mix, in the mix of that, rather. Yeah, let your atmosphere be tensed with supernatural. Yeah, let your environment be tensed with God's power. Head of the mind, I think John G. Lake, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, he got to a time where he had to not deliberately stop, you know, intentionally be out of the Spirit, because in his home, his daughter was reporting that anytime they wanted to give him food, once you stay maybe 7 feet beside him, you are gone with the food you want to give. You are under the power. You know, you can have those kind of lives, but those kind of lives are fueled by devotion and consecration. Start with 10 minutes prayer every day. Start with 20 minutes prayer every day. Start with 3 hours prayer. Then go to 3 hours. Start with 30 minutes in the Word consistently, right? Why should you live a day without hearing the Word? Listen to me. Why? Why? Why are you living a day without hearing the Word? It's as good as you are living a day without feeding. Pastor will come out and shout, we have living, gospelers.org, we have our website, we have Spotify. The only thing you know is just to say that Apple Podcast is not working. And you have Spotify, but you know where that got, not because you were listening to the message, but you just sensed it. Mm-mm. No, get yourself in the Word. Listen to the Word. Stay with the Word. Day in, day out, stay with the Word. A day shouldn't pass without you hearing the Word. Listen to the Word. Have an audio Bible. Listen to your audio Bible. Get your atmosphere charged, tense. Not every time Apple TV, not every time Sky News, not every time. No. You can have a charged environment. You can have a charged environment. Very important. Well, I feel like that should have been instructive to every one of you on this call. Another year comes. Yeah. You might think you will not have done as much in this year. Don't beat yourself too much. The next second, the next moment is an opportunity for you to improve and get better. Well, been a privilege to bring God's word your way today, and I hope you've been instructed by that. We'll pick it up again on Sunday. I might pick some questions on Sunday just to ensure that we have ourselves on track on Sunday, and I'll do some teaching as well. I'll also do some practical on Sunday. Well, until I come your way again on Sunday, stay joyful. I love you so dearly, and I believe strongly in God's mighty hands upon your life. Have a good night. Cheers.